It's been a long time coming.
Fair enough. All right, my friends, this is Between the Covers. I'm Dan Johnson. Stay tuned for more thrilling episodes. We'll see you again soon.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Creating the Communities We All Yearn to Live In on Saturday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at the Global Homestead Garage in Portland. The community rights movements help cities and towns to protect the health, safety, and welfare of their people and natural areas. At the Creating the Communities We All Yearn to Live In event, the leaders of Community Rights US will speak, as well as Mark Lakem. Again, that's Creating the Communities We All Yearn to Live In on Saturday, December 9th at 6 p.m. at the Global Homestead Garage, 416 Southeast Oak Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And my co-host, yes,
Ovi Hill with Let's Read, Walk, and Talk Mirror Image Books.
And we are so pleased to have with us today a young author, a young force to be reckoned with. If this is the first time you are hearing of her, we are quite sure it will not be the last. Her name is Jolie Brunel. She is 17. She is the author of a book entitled Me Too, Just a Collection of Reasons Why You Are So Freaking, and you can add the rest, and I'm sure she will. We've invited her this morning. Thank you for joining us, Jolie.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, could you just, so that our audience immediately knows what you're about, would you just read a passage from your book, and then we'll take it from there?
Yes. So this is a passage from the very first short story called My Rock Bottom. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. What does that word mean? At the moment, I don't exactly know. All I know is that this word allows me to let go of everything I'm trying to be and accept myself for who I am. Beautiful. I still remember that night as if it were yesterday. That was the day I decided to make a change I never thought possible, to learn to love myself the way I was. From then on, I surrounded myself with things that made me feel confident. I found quotes about inner beauty, self-esteem, and acceptance, wrote them down over and over again, allowing each quote to ingrain itself in me. I taped up positive messages all over my room. I got rid of my magazines that only show thin models and replaced them with positive messages. Learning to love, accept, and call myself beautiful is a journey. I am still on this journey. Are you? If so, let me be your positive message. Let my words empower you. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are beautiful. just the way you are.
And that is beautiful. Tell us about the book. Is it, you said, is it short stories? Is it essays?
Me Too is pretty much a collection of poetry, messages, and quotes, and blog snippets that I've been writing over the last 2 years. And it's on four main topics: body acceptance, confidence, goal setting, and healthy relationships.
Tell me, how do you go about beginning to collect all of these poems? Now, were you in high school when you began writing this, or are you still in high school?
When I started writing, I was about 15 years old. I had decided to start blogging because I wanted to get out there and start writing. And I became guest blogger for various blog sites, and over the years just kept writing. Then finally my mom asked me, well, what are you going to do with all of this? Are you going to ever save any of the blogs for yourself? And so I was like, well, I should probably do that. So I collected all of them and was like, okay, well, what am I going to do with all of this? And decided to make it into a book.
Well, did you take any classes in writing while you were in high school? Or who was your mentor there, or your teacher?
I did take English class, just the regular one. No additional creative writing class. I just love writing outside of school. I just loved it.
Define blog. Now, to me, that might be like saying define air. But we have a really varied listenership, and there are actually some of us who don't blog, and there are some of us who don't even know what a blog is. So just fill us in on that.
Yeah,
for those who need it.
A blog, really, my blog was all about girl empowerment, because that's what I love to do. But
what is a blog?
A blog is it's a site where you have a collection of all your writing. So it could be articles, it could be poetry, it could even be a collection of photo blog. But mine was specifically on just where I would write all my poetry on girl empowerment or personal stories or recommendations or tips and stuff like that.
And can people interact? Can they then go to your blog and write whatever they want to?
The blogs that I guest blogged at, yes, you could do that. My personal blog now, metoogirl.com, you can interact with comments and stuff like that, yes.
Okay.
When you begin to put the concept of placing all of these within the covers of a book, who helped you design and do the business relationship in this endeavor?
A lot of amazing people. I decided to self-publish this book, which means that you have to kind of go find all your professional people yourself. And thank goodness I have a really amazing community, church community, that has a lot of those professionals. So I have Lee Lane, who helped me with the legal side, copywriting, all of that. I have Sally Morrow, who designed the cover, and then it was actually illustrated by Martha Rich, who is an artist based in Oregon. It was edited by two amazing women, Jen Johnson and Stephanie Rosick. So all of those incredible people helped put this together.
Well, this is definitely a girl power project.
Yes.
And we should say that Lee Lane is sitting here with us. So it's nice to meet you. Good to have you here. And whoever is working with you on promotions is doing a great job, because I became aware of you after seeing an interview on KATU television channel 2. And if anybody would like to see Jalee and learn some more after listening to this program, you can go online and look up her name on the channel 2 website. But you know, it was good to see you there, and I'm sure more is in store. But I have to say, after seeing you there and seeing you here and listening to you, you don't seem like a young woman who would even have this on her mind. You are just so poised, you know, so together. What even inspired you to start writing this, to start doing this?
Well, mainly because I was definitely not this confident all the years of my life. Actually, in middle school, I was bullied quite harshly, sixth grade, almost to the point that my mom considered homeschooling me. And that was really, really hard, and hard for me. So transitioning into high school, I found or was introduced to this organization called I'm That Girl that empowers girls. And from at that point, all I'd known is that words were used to hurt me, make fun of me and all those things. But that organization really opened my eyes to see that words can be used to uplift people. And that was the moment that I decided for myself that my words were going to be used to inspire people.
In terms of discovering yourself, and I would say self-proclaimed beauty, how did you go about that concept of really taking in consideration how other people had treated you and then began to change the whole image of yourself?
Yes. So I had this insecurity that I was wrestling with because of the bullying. But there was this other part of me who wants to make a change in the world. And that girl, she never left. And I was just, thinking about all of this. And just one day I decided that if I want to be able to go out into the world and fight for it, I cannot be too busy going against myself. And so I decided that I'm going to stop hating myself. I'm going to stop continuously wrestling with myself, because that is taking away my energy that I can be using to change the world. And so I just decided then and on that I'm going to teach myself how to love myself. And that's what I've been doing ever since. It's a journey, still on it, but yeah.
You are absolutely an old soul, and the journey that you're on is a journey that not just women, but people of all ages, are traversing. That is a very common path, but you have come to some significant understandings at a very early age. How has this been received,
It's been received very well. So my book is geared towards teens because I am a teen myself, but I've had women of all ages buy the book, read the book, and be able to be touched and inspired by it. So it's been taken really well.
This is really good. We are joined by our third member, Emma Ford, and we're just going to go on and ask one more question, and then Emma can join us with her questions. I guess I did the last one, so I guess it'll be at your turn.
Well, I'm just happy to see Emma make it here. This is a very interesting book, illustrated, and you have a lot of room on some pages for comments. You left that purposely blank space.
Yes.
So that people could what?
Yes. So this has to do with my title. So the title is Me Too. And the reason why I named it Me Too is because this is my personal story and journey on finding self-love. And, I want others, if they can relate to my struggle and just know that they're not alone. But I also named it Me Too because, and I left white space so that others, if they buy this book or if they want to gift it to someone, can go in and preferably write in their own story, write in their own positive messages, their own affirmations, and then gift it to someone. And that gesture of writing and then giving it is the gesture of saying Me Too.
I love the form you've chosen. I love that you wrote it in prose. Lots of times we write on pieces of paper, scraps of paper, we put them down and we say, I'm going to put this in my journal later. But you have actually gathered your thoughts and put them on paper and published them. I think this will be very encouraging for young people who I'm sure do that. I know I do it, and my students used to do it. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, you're 17, and I know we were thinking that, oh my gosh, okay, so we'll probably have to do a phone interview, and maybe will she have a time fitting it between classes, but you're out of school now, right?
Yes. I am taking a gap year. So I just graduated last June, And my family encouraged me to take a gap year so I'd have time to publish my book. For those of you who don't know what a gap year is, it's just a year off between your senior year of high school and your freshman year of college. So I got into college. I got accepted to Loyola Marymount in LA, California, mm-hmm. and then asked for a deferral. And so they're letting me come the fall of 2018. So now I have time to publish my book and work on other various projects to try to empower girls.
Will you be a journalism major?
I'm not quite sure yet. My focus has been communications. My dream job is to become a motivational speaker. So I'll probably look into communications or public relations or something along those lines.
18 years is a very, well, when you get to be an elder as myself, you begin to say, okay, what was I doing at 18? And there's no way that I could even measure up to maybe the kneecaps of what you've accomplished in this time.
Thank you.
Is this the first thing you've published?
Yes, first book published, yes. And my hope is, with all of the things that I'm doing, is to, of course, inspire girls, but not only to love themselves, but to dream and go after their dreams. I think too much we put things off or say to ourselves, oh, I'll go after that once I've got a degree. Once I have that job position, once all the whatever. But I want to empower girls to go now, go after it now, because yes, this our youth, we are the future, but we are also the present, and we are capable, we are more than capable of making a difference in the world right now, and we just need to be empowered to do so.
Then I have to ask, you don't seem like a person who's gonna do one thing, or do two things and stop. So what are you doing now? What else are you doing? Or what's coming up next for you?
Coming up next is besides college, well, hopefully just getting out there more. Like I said, I want to be a motivational speaker. So getting in front of audiences and empowering girls through that. And obviously continue writing.
Have you done any public speaking?
I have. I've had my first keynote ever with a couple weeks ago with Chick Tech organization, which is empowering girls to go into technology.
Good.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
And I will have my second keynote coming up next week on Monday the 11th with the combination of five different organizations, including Girls Inc. and Chick Tech, which will be my second one, so I'm really excited to do that. just getting more out there, hopefully standing in front of audiences and empowering them with my words, and yeah.
Oh, you'd be doing TED Talks. Look, I'm saying, oh yeah, we knew her.
Do you see a book coming out of your gap year?
After this one, this book, Me Too, is, I like to say it's like my teen voice. And it's my story and how I'm feeling during my teens. And so I would love to come out with a second book with containing my young adult voice. So I'll continue writing in college and possibly have something at the end of that to share with the world.
There is a business aspect to this. Fundraising and putting together a strategy to go out and distribute the book and what have you. How did you go about raising funds for this endeavor?
Again, my amazing community, because I decided to self-publish. I got a How to Self-Publish for Dummies book, and three pages in, I realized, well, I cannot do this on my own. So I went out through my social medias, through my family and friends, and say, I'm trying to write a book. I have no idea what I'm doing. Can you please help me? And one of that aspect of that was the funding, because self-publishing costs more upfront. And just asking my community if they could support me financially for this, and they did.
Was there a minimum that was required to have printed up in terms of getting your book published?
Yes. So usually self-publishing can cost anywhere from $5,000 to even $15,000. But because of, again, my incredible community, a lot of people volunteered their time and professional help, including the designer, Sally Morrow, one of my editors, Jen Johnson. So they volunteered their help, which saved me a lot of the costs. And so that helped out a lot.
Well, there's a banking aspect to this. So who keeps control of the books?
So I self-publish through CreateSpace, which is associated with Amazon. And so it's published through there, so they kind of keep all the tally. But I also order some of my own, and then I sell my own books. And yeah.
Is it, okay, now this is obviously available in print because we're looking at a print copy. Is there also a digital copy of this? Can people go online and get an electronic version?
Not yet. I wanted to start with the physical copy, but it is mainly purchasable through Amazon, but it's also online at Powell's, Barnes & Noble, and other various stores as well.
Okay. Will there be an edition where you will read your work?
Not yet, but that is on the to-do list.
Well, see, we have ideas. You should do workshops. You should be connected. And really, you should think about this. I am hoping that you are offering your services to various schools, public and otherwise, because I just think in terms of direct contact with your audience, mm-hmm. that would be excellent for the excellent program for the schools. And just a great way for you to get your message out. In looking through the book, it reminded me of something called the Daily Word. I'm not even sure who publishes the Daily Word, but I just know I used to read it, and it's just like a thought for the day, an inspirational thought for the day. And I feel like you could open your book at any point and find something uplifting, something inspiring and motivating. So for those of you who are familiar with the Daily Word and know what that can do for you, this is also one of the ways of looking at this book. It is very inspirational.
Thank you. And I do actually plan on doing some workshops. I've teamed up with an organization called Girls Inc., which is empowering girls of lower economic status here in Portland. And we are teaming up, and we're creating a workshop series that we hope to launch in February and March. So that's coming up.
What kinds of things will you do in the workshops for Girls Inc.?
My hope and plan is to have various activities that are rooted in conversation and to create a space where women in the community that are in leadership positions can come and share their story with, you know, young girls, because I don't think there are enough spaces for women to share their stories. And also the idea of mentorship, because I think mentorship is really huge, and I have many mentors that I'm very grateful for. So my hope is with these workshops to, of course, talk about the similar topics in my book: body acceptance, confidence, goal setting, healthy relationships, leadership, but also instill the importance of sharing your story, owning your story, and asking for help with incredible mentors.
When you're not writing or helping out with social projects, what do you do?
I'm usually either helping out my big family, we got a lot of kids, or sleeping. I'm a teenager. I can sleep. but I do. I'm always writing. So, I mean, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and write something. Like, that's how obsessed I am with writing.
Are there other siblings, brothers and sisters living with you?
Yes. Well, I have five siblings. I'm the second oldest. I have an older sister, a younger sister, and three younger brothers.
I'm surprised. I thought you were the oldest. I don't know why. I do want to remind people that we are talking to Jolie Brownell, Portland's own, so we don't have to go outside the city or the state or whatever to find talent. We have much, much more than we are aware of here. And we're discussing her book, Me Too, Just a Collection of Reasons Why You Are So Freaking... And I want to ask, are people getting you confused, or your book confused, with this whole Me Too movement?
I've definitely been asked questions about it, and it is separate. But I want to always, you know, bring out the fact that Me Too is a powerful statement because it does two things. First of all, the me part, it helps you get out there and declare and own your story. But at the same time, it also allows other people to say, hey, me too, the other part, to know that they're not alone. And, you know, that is the reason behind my title. And that is also the reason behind the campaign right now that is going on sexual assault. So the power behind, you know, Me Too is very present there.
We are coming. We're not at the end, but we are in the closing minutes of the show. Is there anything that you just want to share with our audience? Anything that we haven't touched upon? Anything that you have not expressed that you know thought you want to leave with those who are listening this morning?
No, I just want to reiterate, you know, the fact that just go for it. People say, like, okay, what made you do this? Like, you know, why did you do this? I just went for it. I did not know what I was doing in the start. I was terrified in the start, but I just want to let girls know, or let people know, if you have a dream, don't let fear stop you. Do it afraid. Do it terrified. Do it not knowing what you're doing. Just go out there, whatever that dream of yours, just ask for help and go for it.
If someone wants to purchase a copy of your book, where do they contact, or who do they contact?
If you want to buy a book, you can go on Amazon. Just type in Me Too. It'll pop up one of the first books, and you can order it off of there, or again, off of other bookstores online, Powell's or Barnes & Noble's, and other various stores as well.
Would you like to read something from the book to close out this program?
Yes. Sure. All right. So this one is on page 64, and it reads, "Do you wish to become confident, powerful, legendary? Then be confident, be powerful, be legendary. You cannot become until you decide to be."
Jolie Brownell, I have to admit, after listening to you, I am so inspired. I am just feeling so freaking able to do whatever or go home and say, what is it I need to confront? Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And we are watching you because we know that your star is just rising.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay. You know, this is the last edition that we're going to have before the holiday season. And so I just came across two books, and I just wanted to mention them quickly. It was, one of them was so amazing to me. There's a book called Never Caught, and it is the Washington's relentless pursuit of their runaway slave, Ona Judge. And this is one of those wonderful works of nonfiction. It reads like fiction. It is by Erica Armstrong Dunbar. I don't know why, but it just didn't click with me that George Washington had slaves. I guess because Thomas Jefferson kind of overshadowed him. And it would have never crossed my mind that the president, first president of the country, would be so petty as to spend much time and resources trying to get one little slave woman back because his wife wanted to give her to somebody and was really irritated that this woman who was enslaved, that she was so disloyal as to run away. So they just use incredible resources. But as the title says, Never Caught. So this is not a downer. This is just a book you might want to read to give you hope. But then there's also something, a book called The Talented Ribkins. Rib is R-I-B-K-I-N-S. It's by Lady Hubbard, and Lady is L-A-D-E-E Hubbard. And this is about a 72-year-old man who's on the run. He's on the lam. He owes somebody, I think, $30,000 and has like 5 days to get it to him. And he is from a family that has interesting talents, like his father can see colors that nobody else can see. He has a brother who can scale buildings. I mean, just scale buildings. He can do maps. He sees things in a way that other people don't see them. The book is frequently just hilarious. But The Talented Ribkins and Never Caught are two things that you might want to consider for your holiday reading, or you may want to give to somebody else. that's it for me. At least this is the library lady, Patricia Welch, librarian emeritus, saying happy holidays to everybody.
And Emma Jackson Fort saying, see you next year.
And O.B. Hill saying, let's read, walk, and talk. You're listening to Black Book Talk on KBOO. Bye-bye.
Join KBOO at the Holiday Comic Spectacle of Arts on Parade on Thursday, December 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater in Portland. Hosted by the Soft Skills Comics Collective, this benefit for KBOO and the Independent Publishing Resource Center will feature Pacific Northwest comic artists, live cello music, sing-alongs, science fun, and much more. Again, that's the Holiday Comics Spectacle of Artists on Parade on Thursday, December 14th at 7 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage.